I'm excited. Ladies and gentlemen, all you need to know, really. By the way, I am not psychic, but I foresee from what I've already heard in my headphones, today will be festooned with technical problems, but they can't be any worse than the sound going out of the House of Blues in Las Vegas. So I am so ready. I am so ready. Come on, bring it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, they in Southern California. I, of course, am in Santa Monica, the home of the homeless. But in Los Angeles, just nearby, just spitting distance, literally, they had an election for mayor this week. And the Latino did not win. You know, there was a lot of talk about, the future. The future has been put on hold momentarily. The Latino candidate, Antonio Villaraigosa, did not win. He was defeated by James Hahn. I'm sorry, I'll wake you up shortly. But yesterday on CNN, there was, one of their yak fests, and they had a reporter, former reporter from the Los Angeles Times, who is now writing a book about a politician. Fortunately, the politician is not Antonio Villaraigosa, because this reporter, who is a friendly acquaintance of mine, referred to him throughout the interview as Villaraigosa, which, given the fact-checking that publishers do in books these days, might have slipped through. Anyway, he's not writing about him. But the discussion came around to the attack ad that Villaraigosa's opponent, James Hahn, ran in the final week of the campaign. And it was an attack ad saying that Antonio Villaraigosa, when he was Speaker of the California State Assembly, wrote a letter to the pardon board at the White House on behalf of a convicted crack dealer, denying that said convicted crack dealer had been dealing crack. Now, if you remember back to the Clinton pardon deal, there were a lot of well-known people in Southern California who wrote such letters, including, I believe, the Archbishop of Los Angeles. Do we have a cardinal or an archbishop? Anybody know? Yeah, okay, fine. Everybody's paying attention to that. The big Catholic prelate in Los Angeles, whatever his, I believe it's an archbishop. But anyway, he wrote a letter in behalf of same dealer. But he wasn't mentioned in the ad. Antonio Villaraigosa was. And the ad was viewed as rather effective in swinging the election in the late days to his opponent, James Hahn. All right, so they discussed this on CNN yesterday, and they talked for about 3 minutes about, the tactics of the ad and it's being late in the campaign and Villaraigosa's hadn't defined himself sufficiently, and there had been previous ads leading up to this. And finally, as an afterthought, Margaret Carlson of Time magazine quotes what people in Washington, I think, have adopted as their favorite Henry Kissingerism from the 1970s. I forget the exact context in which Henry Kissinger uttered this immortal phrase, but it has gone into the Washington lexicon right next to guess what, and it is, well, referring to the ad, it did have the added advantage of being true. And there was a little bit of muttering about, yeah, that's it. But then they went back to discussing the taxes because, is it too late? Was it too early? It was true. That's all you needed to know. The guy wrote the letter. It wasn't a good idea. And Villaraigosa did not respond with, well, hey, the cardinal or the archbishop did it. He said, no, it's unfair tactics, so of course he's going to lose. But on CNN, the fact that it was true came in dead last as things to discuss on the broadcast. It's sort of the way it is here. Hello, welcome to the show.
When you go into the shop, lady watches like a cop. Good one, go,
go, baby.
Come on and that's together,
go, baby.
She don't like the way you look, so she treats you like crook. No, you wanna go.
Side all around the town, the kids sang ring around Rosie, London bridges falling down, boys and girls together, me and Mamie O'Rourke, we tripped the light fantastic on the sidewalks of New York. Side, west side, all around the town. Sweet Mamie grew up and bought herself a sweet little Alice blue gown. All the fellas dug her. You should have heard them squawk when I escorted Mamie round the sidewalks of New York.
started swinging at Chili's. Then we split to P.J. Clark's, on to Chuck's Composite. Then a drink at the start. We won't get home until morning, 'cause we're gonna take a walk on the sidewalks of New York.
From the other edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Our second on the air in Louisville. I guess we've got a streak going. Streak, I said. But, you know, the way streaks are going these days, we'll just hope for the best. Apropos of New York, before anything else, and of course there's been so much else, you know my love for the Apple goes unabated. But it was a week ago tonight that I arrived in New York City, the city that never sleeps, ain't it? My flight arrived, got to the hotel around 11:30 Sunday night. Now, you figure in any other burg, you're out of luck if you want to get food at that time of night. But it's New York. You know, you just get off a transcontinental flight. You've passed on the airline food for good and sufficient reason. And now, man, you're in New York. So, the hotel, with the 24-hour room service, because it's New York, says, yes, we have a 24-hour room service, sir, but it's just sandwiches now. There's no hot food. The kitchen's closed. Sandwiches? Yes, sir. We've got the ham and cheese and the club. Okay, good. Thank you. But it's New York. I'm sure there's a dozen places open around here that will serve a pleasing, if not fabulous, dinner this time of night. Yes?
Well, sir, there's a couple of delis in the neighborhood that are open now.
Uh-huh. What could I get there?
Some sandwiches.
Okay. So, if you want, apparently the sandwich capital of the world, ladies and gentlemen, New York. So I'm resting on my laurels as an ex-New Yorker. I think to myself, all right, there's this wonderful, well, not wonderful, adequate, Frenchy kind of brasserie called the Brasserie that's open 24 hours a day. I'll just walk over there. I'll walk because it's New York. And I walk over there, and of course, they're no longer open 24 hours a day, so I take a cab back. Call room service. All right, I give up. I'll just have some chocolate ice cream just to fill the hole.
Yes, sir.
15 minutes later.
I'm very sorry, sir. We've run out of chocolate ice cream.
It's New York. The city never sleeps, but maybe it should. Maybe it should get a good long nap at this point in time. So, now, ladies and gentlemen, some feedback, not feedbag, feedback from the listeners to Le Show, lay listeners. One says, while the NBA and the NFL, this is a listener from Philadelphia who for some God knows what reason says, interpolates, puts the phrase, yay Sixers in the middle of this. I have no idea what that's referring to. But he says, while the NBA and the NFL have salary caps, Major League Baseball does not. Hence the huge contract Alex Rodriguez just got with the Rangers, probably crippling the team in the long run. So among George W. Bush's sins is not being a salary-capping baseball club owner. I'm censoring that a little bit. Okay, if that's correct, I'll stand corrected, because I said a couple weeks ago it seems odd that George W. Bush was for interfering with the market when he was a baseball club owner, but not when it comes to California energy prices. Meanwhile, of course, the price of natural gas to California has plummeted. Coincidentally, days after an exclusive contract to distribute natural gas to California expired and 80 competitors entered the market. It's the magic of the market. What do you want out of me? Now, also from a listener, you may remember a couple months ago I mentioned going to Charlotte, North Carolina, having that experience that seasoned travelers always have, getting into a hotel room and thinking, if not saying aloud, how the hell do you work this shower? And I issued a plea for, you know, little dial pads like everything else comes with these days. You just dial up the temperature you want, and you dial up the water pressure, and you set it, and that's it. And you hit the shower, and that's every time you take a shower in that shower, it's got your settings on it. I said, why can't we do that? Here's a listener who says, I thought you'd like to know that your national government has already been working for you on this issue. The new and only lodging in Sequoia National Park has one handle, bathtub water controls, color-coded blue for the colder temperatures and red for those hotter, but also labeled with actual numbers to 110 max. They also have big bars of vanilla and poppy seed soap.
Okay.
But that's still not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about dial pads. I'm talking about little digital, the things that are taking over the rest of our lives. Why aren't they taking over this? All right, so my question will go unanswered because nobody's answering it at the moment. In yesterday's Los Angeles Dog Trainer, we learned that the Los Angeles International Airport does not rank highly among the new airports in the country for the mall-like shopping experience. Apparently, LAX lags behind Pittsburgh, Atlanta. Atlanta! You ever flown to the Atlanta airport? That is a nightmare on wheels. So now they're bragging because they have a lot of places to shop. Get rid of the shuttle train first and then start bragging. That is the single worst invention in the history of aviation. You get off a long plane flight, and what is offered to you? A train ride to your car or to your bus or cab. Stop that. I'm sorry to go falsetto on you, ladies and gentlemen, but that's just, somebody has to slap the people who designed those airports. Anyway, LAX is going into the business of mollifying its shopping experiences because, you know, you can make more money that way than with gifts and news. Remember when it was news and gifts? And then gifts just started chugging in front. So now, more gifts, less news, just like TV. But here would be my suggestion, not only to LAX, but to every other airport in the country, because none of them are doing this. None of them is doing this. The one place where you really need some kind of concession, ideally a coffee bar, name not specified, forget on your way to the gate to get on a plane. Yeah, you may be waiting there, but, you know, who wants to buy stuff that you then have to schlep in the, you know, argue with the stewardess as to what, excuse me, the flight attendant as to whether you can carry it on or have to check it. Where you really need something, and especially just coffee or drinks, is downstairs waiting for your bag at the end of the trip when you're just, all you can think of is murderous thoughts about how can it possibly take them this long to unload that plane? I walked the distance 20 minutes ago. These guys have wheeled vehicles. What's going on? There's where you need concessions, ladies and gentlemen. I just, you know, to improve the breed. Dateline, Orlando, Florida. I'm sure you've already heard this, but just in case you haven't, after almost 2 months at the negotiating table, the workers who play characters such as Mickey Mouse and Cinderella at Walt Disney World have won an important concession, clean undergarments. Under a tentative, there's the most interesting part of the story coming up. Under a tentative contract between Disney and the Teamsters Union, Mickey's a Teamster. Mickey Mouse is a Teamster. Cinderella's a Teamster. The workers will be assigned individual undergarments, which they can take home each night to clean themselves instead of relying on the Disney launderers. Apparently, it's not a clean world after all. Some workers had complained about getting pubic license scabies. Ugh. Disney? Yeah, you can't grow facial hair. But where are these? Things have been passed around, says a stilt walker at Animal Kingdom. I know I don't want to share my tights, and I don't want to share my underwear. See, what kind of a world is it, ladies and gentlemen, where we can't share our tights? Can't we all? Didn't Rodney King ask that a long time ago? Many of the characters have to wear Disney-issued jock straps, tights, or bike shorts underneath their costumes because regular underwear bunches up or is noticeable. Each night they turn in the undergarments with the rest of their costume before going home. They then pick up a different set the next day. It's so like school. Disney officials had told the workers that they use hot water to clean the undergarments, but apparently they weren't, according to Gary Stevens Steverson, a shop steward with the Teamsters, which represents Goofy, Pluto, Minnie, and Donald. Some workers... Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to just pause to say I was at Disney World a while back doing a television broadcast, and you know, they have more than one of each of these characters. I hate to blow the the fantasy for you. But there's more than one Mickey walking around Disney World, although it is against company policy for you and the general public ever to see more than one Mickey. So there's a lot of logistics involved. It's not all fun. But I did see Donald. I saw Donald backstage with his head off. So from the neck down, he was Donald Duck. From the neck up, let's get all the euphemisms lined up here. He was an African-American little person. You get me? Teamster. Some workers complained about receiving undergarments that were stained or smelly. Disney spokeswoman Rena Callahan refused to comment on the new contract provisions because we don't conduct our negotiations with the media. The costume characters also won more time to put on their costumes. And a weather clause that includes air pollution as a factor in determining how long the characters have to be outside. Recently, smoke from a nearby brush fire has irritated singers' vocal cords and made it difficult for stilt walkers to breathe. People are feeling nauseous. They have itchy eyes or dizzy and have headaches, says a union shop steward at Animal Kingdom. The workers vote next week on the contract. But clean underwear will really make it the happiest place on earth, don't you think? Happier. God knows I don't want to share my tights. Let's, ladies and gentlemen, look at what the future holds. Because it's Sunday. We view the future with alarm. From New Scientist, the U.S. is developing landmines that move around. Moving landmines to avoid the crews that clear minefields. The self-riding mines will detect the distance to their neighbors using ultrasonic sensors and communicate with each other via radio. If some mines are removed or destroyed, the remaining mines will sense that they are missing and move around until they form regular patterns. Sell that technology to the NBA, is what I say, because so few of the teams know how to do that. All right, the digital wonderland is awaiting us. There is a company called Roxio that sells products that enable you and me to burn CDs from our computers. EMI, the large record conglomerate, has bought a stake in Roxio, and the two companies are now working on ways to, according to the CEO of Roxio, create a research and development project to enable the consumer's ability to buy products, not create roadblocks and obstacles as to what the consumers would be able to do, unquote. But he also talks later in the article about a feature that would make sure a downloaded song can be burned only two or three times, or only if the paying customer pays an extra fee for, quote, the right to burn, unquote. It's an important right, ladies and gentlemen. Get your burning rights. But, you know, you can buy those in quantity and they'll be cheaper. As to digital television, the head of the FCC, Michael Powell, the new head of the FCC, has been long enough on the job to be able to issue quotes like this. The digital transition is going better than many give it credit for. How many digital TVs do you have, Commissioner Powell? In Australia, the communications minister reports that digital television sales, I guess he means sales to the dealers, have very much outstripped demand at the present time. So there are some very interesting developments occurring in the marketplace, which I do think have a bearing on the way ahead, i.e. stores bought all these TVs that nobody wants because they're digital. There is a deadline, May 1st of next year, for all the television stations currently on the air to start firing up their digital transmitters. Not very many have. In the biggest 10 markets, communities, cities, 30, these are just numbers. Anyway, the point of the matter is a startlingly small percentage of stations have so far fired up their digital transmitters. So go out and buy a digital TV right now, won't you? Thank you very much. And I am finally in receipt of from a listener who knows why this program is called Le Show, because I have always been fascinated by the tendency of Americans to put the French masculine article le in front of things to class them up. as in Le Sex Shop, Le Steak, Le Club, Le Hot Tub Club, Le Hot Club. So here is in Lawrence, New Jersey. Yes, Lawrence, New Jersey. A camera store in Lawrence began its liquidation, creating a fleeting frenzy in the photography community as eager buyers snapped up discounted products at the store, where the was known for its extensive supplies of camera equipment for professionals and amateurs. The name of the store, of course, Le Camera. Oh, to be in New York tonight and hungry.
Is my lady. Ooh, too long we've been apart. Her tunnels of love are calling me. Her bridges are burning my heart. I'm gonna go back to my lady. She's calling wherever I roam. You know that New York is my lady. Charms me day and night. Her Bronx shows such pleasing cleavage. Her Brooklyn, it's clean out of sight. Her Queens is fit for royalty. Staten Island, a trip across that foam. You know that New York is my lady. Faithful to her. Yeah, I've spent time with other dames. Just hearing her name sets my heart aflame. I've got a yen just to see her again. I've got an itch to see that fabulous witch. Oh, New York is my lady. She is no tramp. Her Central Park is a ball after dark. Her streets are no place to camp. You've got to acknowledge my lady. She's a beauty without brush or comb. You know that New York is my lady.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, bringing you up to date on a story that has riven show business in Hollywood this week. Sony Pictures announced that two employees were being suspended in their advertising department pending further investigation of the David Manning affair. Now, Newsweek magazine broke the story that David Manning, supposedly a reviewer for a weekly newspaper in Connecticut, whose rave reviews of four or five Sony pictures, including Hollow Man, Vertical Limit, The Animal, and A Knight's Tale, starring Heath Ledger, the Australian heartthrob. Rave reviews have been featured in advertisements for those pictures. Newsweek, as I say, broke the story that David Manning doesn't exist, that the newspaper in Connecticut doesn't have a movie reviewer, and that they actually buy their movie reviews from another newspaper. And as the story developed, as I say, Sony announced that they were taking steps to review their advertising procedures, and that these two responsible people in the advertising department were being suspended and so forth and so on. Now it appears that the story is taking an interesting new twist, because here in the Le Show Dome today, I'm pleased to welcome film reviewer David Manning. David, welcome to the Dome.
Hey, Harry. Thanks for the invite. It's a pleasure to be in the Dome, which Speaking of things that supposedly exist.
Well, there's no need to go there, David, or Mr. Manning, whatever.
David is fine.
I'm grateful that you've come to spend a part of your day with us to go public in this way.
Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to come on the air here and at least try to disprove some of the vicious, silly lies that have been told about me this week.
All right, you say lies, such as what?
Okay, for example, people at Sony are now saying that I don't exist.
Yeah.
I think you can see for yourself that, as existence goes, I've got it down pretty damn pat.
Well, yeah, using the word exist in a broader sense.
Okay, admittedly, I don't exist as a human being.
Well, your computer.
But then again, neither does your friend Ralph over there.
Yeah.
And he's got a quasi-credible career here on the radio reading inane newspaper columns aloud. So,
well...
David, you don't need to drag me into this.
All right. I'm sorry.
Okay, but...
It's just that I worked my tail off. Of course, that's a rhetorical flourish. As a talking computer-type film reviewer, I don't actually have a tail.
All right, full disclosure there.
But, you know, when I came out of the box, I didn't even know what a movie was. And by now, I can spout more enthusiastic adjectives about them than Jeffrey Lyons ever knew.
Well, we've heard a lot about thinking out of the box, but I guess that would be spouting out of the box. So tell me, David, if you do in fact exist in this form as a talking computer, why is that being denied?
Well, okay, see now all the cover stories start. Nobody at Sony wants to admit that I actually exist. Because then it's like, oh, wow, who programmed him? And what the hell business does a computer have reviewing films?
Yeah.
And it's a whole can of worms type deal.
Huh.
It's just easier for everybody to take a little hit and pretend that I don't exist. Everybody, that is, except me.
Well...
If I had a mother, how do you think that would make her feel?
Yeah, that's a little too hypothetical question for me. I'm here to to ask the questions, David, if you don't mind.
Fair enough.
Now, one of the accusations against you is that you never seemed to dislike a movie, especially a Sony movie.
Well, I'm just a movie lover. You know, go sue me for liking everything I see. Is that a crime in this country?
Well...
All of the so-called people who, quote, exist are so damned ironic and cynical and everything. Maybe it's only we, talking computers, who are capable of compassion and innocence and, damn it, love. Can you feel the love?
Good Lord. Spread it thicker. Why don't you?
Ralph, if you don't mind, why don't you just go back to reading Larry King's column?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hey, has there ever been a better summer fruit than the apricot?
Ralph?
You look apart in a dictionary.
Ralph.
You see a picture of...
Read it to yourself, please.
Sorry.
Okay, thanks. So, David Manning, getting back to you, your position is you just really did spontaneously, or however, like all of these Sony pictures that your favorable reviews appeared in the ads for?
Yes, I really did like all those movies and lots of others besides.
Well...
Hollow Man to me was a true winner. More suspenseful than a ride in a Ford Explorer with Firestone tires. The Animal was a slapstickerous romp that produced laughs by the cage load. Vertical Limit took me to the limit of filmmaking excellence.
What about A Knight's Tale?
And Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Well, girls, let me just say, how do you spell pot in Australian?
I think you spell it the same way.
You're probably right.
So... The aside from your lack of existence, then, David, the other question would be, did Sony Pictures, the only studio that used your quotes, did they somehow influence you to like their movies or to be more favorably disposed towards their movies?
Look, the people at Sony, who are, by the way, some of the nicest people I've met in the movie business, did have access to my hard drive, and, sure... Since they paid for the software upgrades that allowed me to view movies on my own screen, I'm gonna think nice thoughts about those films.
Okay.
But as I said, I'm a positive kind of character all the way around. You know, computers are like people.
Yeah.
We're all different.
Sure.
Some crash, some, Like our Larry King reading friend over there, are moody.
Oh, go reboot yourself.
Hey.
Me, I'm just a sunny, optimistic hunk of silicon.
Hmm.
Heck, I even like Godzilla.
Well, thank you very much, David. All right, so the way the story is now, a couple of people have sued Sony Pictures, claiming that this was false advertising, the use of excerpts from your reviews, and suing for a large amount of money, not because they think the audience deserves to be repaid for the money they spent on seeing those movies, but that Sony should be punished for false advertising. How?
Well, this lawsuit thing is ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
How are they going to prove I didn't love those films?
Well, have you ever been cross-examined?
No, I've never even been married.
See, with a sense of humor like that, no wonder he liked the animal.
Ralph.
Sorry.
Yeah. David.
Yeah, those people saying they want to punish Sony.
Mm-hmm, the people suing.
Have you seen the grosses for Hollow Man and Vertical Limit?
Well, I...
Dude, that's punishment enough. I mean, are they trying to get blood out of a Japanese eggplant?
I don't know what they're trying to do, but I doubt that they're trying to do that specifically, David. Although a felicitous turn of phrase that well befits a movie reviewing computer.
Thanks.
David Manning, let's take you at your word that you do exist, and albeit in this electronic form. What are your plans now? You've I guess from your point of view have been bad wrapped and bad mouthed and so forth.
Sorry. I'm going to try to put all this nastiness behind me.
Well, that's...
I figure the one thing I'm getting out of this whole episode is a lot of free publicity.
That's
so
for sure.
I've got calls into the people at ET, at Extra, Ebert, and who's this? You know,
yeah.
Somebody's gonna want to take a chance on the most famous movie reviewing computer, like, ever, don't you think?
Well, I...
And, you know, who won't exist then?
Good question, David Manning. Thank you so much for clearing all of this, or at least some of this up today. David Manning, ersatz, apparently not so ersatz film reviewer.
My pleasure.
And Ralph, our very own talking computer, thank you for, I guess, giving David our number.
Don't thank me. He threatened to give me a virus if I didn't hook him up with you.
Well, it almost sounds like you're jealous of his notoriety.
Oh, yeah. Real jealous.
All right. Anyway, thank you both for contributing to this exclusive interview on today's Newsmaker segment of Le Show.
doesn't know.
There really is a reason, at least if you're in San Francisco. It's called Spinal Tap at the Warfield Theater tonight. But some would call that a reason. Yes, the master of slipping plugs in. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, it is Le Show. So the two words I really don't want to hear a lot more of at this point in time are Timothy McVeigh. Stop with it already. We'll never understand it, and I don't want to. I don't want to understand it. How about helping me understand something interesting, like the origin of the universe, let's say. But Timothy, here's, all right, for everybody who says, all right, if you don't kill him, what? What then? What should we do? Here it is. Life. Of course, without possibility of parole, but that goes without saying. This is the important thing. Life without the possibility of being interviewed on TV. There's punishment, ladies and gentlemen. Life without... He can watch all the TV he wants. He just can never be on it. For any American, that is the most severe punishment imaginable. All right, following up on the White House vandalism story. Now it appears that the story of the Air Force One being stripped bare is the one that Fox News is apologizing for reporting, not the story of the White House vandalism alleged, which we thought Tony Snow had apologized for a couple of weeks ago. Britt Hume reported earlier that the Air Force One, quote, was stripped bare, the plane's porcelain, china and silverware and salt and pepper shakers, blankets and pillowcases, nearly all items bearing the presidential seal were taken by Clinton staffers. That story was first reported in the Washington Times and apparently was traced back to an Air Force steward. The Bush administration allowed the media to repeat that story over and over. Only after Andrews Air Force Base took the wind out of the story, Bush acknowledged that nothing had been missing from the plane. No physical evidence has been produced by the White House to back up its list, that list provided last weekend to the Washington Post, of stuff that was damaged. No records of any repairs have been provided, and photos don't. Still, should they? Who owes an apology to whom, ladies and gentlemen? That's the question. Now, President Bush, as you know, of course it's the weekend, so he's in Crawford, Texas at the ranch. But this weekend he's been joined there by, among others, Condoleezza Rice, who's giving him briefings about, to prepare for his upcoming trip to Europe. Now, here's an interesting thing. ABC News today said it's his first major trip abroad. The New York Times calls it his first presidential trip abroad. What both of them failed to mention is it's his first trip abroad. If I'm not mistaken, and I believe this fact emerged during the presidential campaign, George W. Bush has never been outside the United States, except now, of course, to Mexico and Canada. So to call it his first major or official trip abroad to Europe is to, of course, ignore the fact that it's his first trip to Europe, period, paragraph, other punctuation, and, as you will. Of course, the questions in Europe will be serious because the European allies are ticked at the new United States government, as they always are, but particularly now because of two issues. The Bush administration's proclaimed desire, intention to build the missile defense project, which, of course, a democratically controlled Senate has now made much less likely to happen, and the Bush administration's refusal to go along, well, pulling out of the Kyoto Treaty on Global Warming, the treaty that committed industrialized nations to mandatory limits on CO2 emissions to try to reverse. This week, the National Academy of Sciences, at the White House's request, issued a report saying, yes, human-caused climate change is real, is a real cause for concern, and maybe somebody ought to do something about it. So that would be further fodder for the Europeans and a further challenge for the new president as he makes his first trip to a country, to a continent. By the way, speaking of which, his first visit on the continent will be to Spain, not because Spain was deemed by the administration to be a particularly important country to visit at this point in time, but because the president speaks Spanish. So, as I say, these are all issues for him to be thinking about and getting briefed on this weekend at the ranch.
Several parts of Europe feature a very different form of transportation, in which many people ride in the same vehicle or train.
Man, talk about a dry hole.
Mr. President.
Hey, Condi. Let me put this on pause here. Just watching the briefing tape again. You know, I find, and maybe this is a message the federal government can send to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing helps learning like repetition, you know, just going over the same material over and over again until...
Until you've nailed it.
Bingo.
Well, it's a good strategy, sir, but the strategy we're kind of focusing on over at NAC right now is how we deal with the Europeans about the global warming situation, and it really is waiting on a go, no go from you, sir.
All right, and this is in view of that report deal.
From the NAS saying that the human-caused climate change is a cause for concern, that's right.
All right. Now, look, Laura and I are going over to Europe for the first time, you know. At some point, somebody's going to have to set aside some time for sightseeing. Otherwise, we're wasting the taxpayers' money, aren't we?
Well,
but I know that's not your bailiwick, Condi. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Now, again, on the policy issue,
right.
Here's what Karen Hughes is suggesting. Tell me if you think it flies.
Uh-huh.
We take a hard line with the Europeans. You know, we tell them we're building our missile defense system and we're not going along with all the globaloney, warming baloney.
Mm-hmm.
But we do a full-on charm offensive, and I give them all nicknames.
Well, that is option A, sir. I've weighed in with you as far as my opinion of it.
You hate it.
Oh, I don't hate it.
Well,
I think General Powell is right. The Europeans are taking your measure here. They're not like Senator Hayseed from Podunk. It takes more than charm to impress them.
Condi, I'm going to ask you to do one thing while you're working for me.
Yes, sir.
And that's not fall prey to the temptation to looking down on the good folks from Podunk.
I'm sorry, sir. It must be my sense of urgency about getting the climate change strategy locked.
Okay, but that kind of elitism is exactly the sort of thing that, you know, the good folks down at the Petroleum Club expect us to stay away from.
I know.
You know? Now,
yes.
Now, Dick Cheney has weighed in, too, on this climate change thing, and as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks we tell the Europeans that we didn't lend them the boys and girls of our greatest generation to defend their right to kill the unborn. This gets them back on their heels playing defense.
I'm on record regarding Plan B, too, sir. Linkage is an approach that can
always come around and bite you in the ass. I know. See, you've said that phrase so often. I have learned it. But okay, looky here.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves us just with the so-called Plan C,
which I wrote you a memo in favor of.
Yes, you did. Very fine memo. Set up a commission to revise the Kyoto Treaty, promised to get the new treaty ratified,
which can bog down in the revising process for years. So it's not really giving up anything real. The Europeans know this, but they get the momentary public relations advantage of having you, quote, deal with their concerns.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you put it that way, I think Don Rumsfeld is way out of line calling it the weak sister approach.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, You don't want to be the weak sister.
No, sir, you don't. But if it's not a weak sister approach...
No, yeah. But truth. If people like Don Rumsfeld think it is, mm-hmm. What about the people like Don Rumsfeld among Europeans? You know, surely they're going to see weak sister written all over it.
Except that given most European governments are center-left, sir, I don't think there are too many Don Rumsfelds over there right now. So I think the whole weak sister angle is at the least extremely counterproductive.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, look, I know you need a quick and decisive decision. Mm-hmm. I just need to give this a last-minute rethink or two. So, and I would like to see the end of this tape. So, Condi, just check with me in about an hour.
Yes, sir. We do have to start drafting.
Hey, Condi, I'm not going to take longer than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think I want to be sitting here at 8:30 tonight?
No, sir. All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm. Sure don't want to be the weak sister, though.
In many European countries, English is spoken only with some difficulty.
Well, we got something in common.
Gym. She's there every time I go, and I don't go that often, so she must live at the gym. I stare at her ribs, they show through the spandex. Her little legs are working, she's going somewhere. Climbing up the stairs, and when she reaches the top, her dreams will be there. Lucy at the gym, Lucy on the scale for the third time, through thick and thin. Lucy's at the gym, she's staring. She takes a shower after all the hours. Does she have a place to go? Is there someone waiting, or is Lucy all alone?
Keep on working, girl.
Well, some of our listeners dissent from the assertion that George W. Bush made that he's not been to Europe before. We're going to check that out. The Le Show Research Department will be on that all this week. But that is this edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer. Yes, you have the right to burn. On your computer whenever you want it, by the way, at two locations, www.kcrw.com and www.harryshearer.com. That's six W's and two comms. And it would be just like all of us going to Europe, if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Uh-huh. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. No attachments, please. This is Le Show, which has the added advantage of being true. Le Show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.